Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you live. You can listen to this whenever you want on YouTube and your podcast, whatever it is. We are the Football Scoop Podcast, Football Scoop staff. I am host Scott Roussel. I've got college football experts Zach Barnett, John Bryce, Doug Samuels. Gentlemen, I don't know if y'all are aware, but there's this stuff going on with Lane Kiffin. I don't know if it's even on the internet, but it's apparently happening. So Florida has been trying to woo Lane for quite some time. LSU has thrown their hat in the ring, thrown their dollar bills in as well. And meanwhile, Ole Miss has got, you know, an offer to him to extend. And who knows what else might happen with Lane Kiffin. You know, none of us really know. Lane's having a great season. They're on a bye, and they have the Egg Bowl coming up right after Thanksgiving. So LSU, the news yesterday was Layla came to town in Baton Rouge, poking her head around. Unsurprising that some local Baton Rougeans caught a little video of that. So you see Layla getting off the plane and touring around Baton Rouge a little bit. The offer, sources tell me, is this is north of Kirby Smart money. This is over $13.2 million. This is a massive offer to become the highest paid college football coach in the country. Significant duration, 6-7 years. It was a big one. It's a lot of money to turn down. So the question, gentlemen, I'm going to hear everybody's opinion. Is Lane going to go Florida? Is he going to come LSU? Is he going to stay at Ole Miss? Or is he going to continue to evaluate? And then what in the world is the Ole Miss contingent going to do if this just keeps dragging on? Zach, why don't we start with you?
I think it boils down to what do you actually want to accomplish in life? I mean, $13 million, I've never had that offered to me, so I can't sit here and say what that's like. But I can gather that your life at $13 million a year isn't appreciably different from your life at $9 million, $8 million, 10, whatever. Million per year. If your ultimate goal is to win a national championship, you can accomplish that easier at LSU than you can at Ole Miss. That's just a fact for we don't need to get into this right now. I think you can win a national championship easier at LSU than you can at Florida. So if your goal is to win a national championship, I think you'd take the LSU job, not necessarily because of the money. And then another thought I have when I hear you throw that out there is at what point does the coach's salary begin to take away from the goal? Because obviously it takes quite a bit of money now to fund your roster, and there's only so much money to go around. So if you take $13 million instead of $10 million, does that cost you a left tackle? I'm just throwing that out there. I at some point it has to. And I've said all along, when I've gone on radio shows to people ask me about this, I said, I don't know where Lane's going to end up, but I do know that Jimmy Sexton is going to make this as painful as possible for all involved.
JB, let me hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Gosh, there's a lot. I think that, talking with people in Oxford yesterday, late into last night, talking with people in Gainesville yesterday, late into last night, and, other people around the industry, no stunner here, breaking no news by saying Lane is complete control. He holds the fates of three major SEC programs in his hand right now, and it's about what he deems best for himself, his career, his family, all of those things. My understanding is Florida is basically right there dollar for dollar with LSU in terms of the offer. Florida is aware that it has to be in the 13 to 13 and a half million range to have a chance to pry Lane Kiffin out of Oxford. And speaking with the people in Oxford, they expect resolution before Friday of this week, one way or the other. That's what they expect. That doesn't mean that's guaranteed, but the expectation is that it's coming to a head sooner rather than later. You guys know, I think we discussed it on Sunday's podcast, and I said for the first time I was at 50-50 on Lane staying versus going. And now I'm probably more in the 60-40 that he leaves rather than stays. So I think the momentum favors the outside suitors. Zach, you keep winning enough of those games, 6-0 in overtime, you'll get that $13 million offer. But one thing, and that is crazy money, but if you're in the world of crazy money, you look at everything. Florida is a no state income tax state. So for whatever that's worth. 13 million goes even further in Florida.
Okay, so I don't want to interrupt, but I have a question to ask. So let's just say that he takes another Florida, LSU, whatever. Ole Miss could still have as many as 7 games still to play. I mean, we're near the end of the season, but depending on how things shake out, they could have as many, as few as 3, as many as 7 more games. I want to be the head coach at LSU after this season. What happens next?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think that's where an early chasm is forming in Oxford between the Lane Kiffin camp and the Ole Miss brass and supporters camp, be it, you know, camouflage supporters sending out tweets, or be it the Secretary of the State of Mississippi. My understanding is Lane is quite aware of those and not at all, not only not amused, but quite displeased at those tweets, trying to apply some of that external pressure and asking what more you could possibly need and all of that. I think that Lane not finishing out coaching has probably been discussed at Ole Miss. I'm told that's a real lightning rod point where you could have a real fracture in the team if that was the case. But if they went to a situation where they named an interim head coach, I would expect it to be Joe Judge.
Doug, give me thoughts.
So to me, has Lane Kiffin really changed? Is this the new Lane Kiffin? Because I think at least in the back of his mind, we've got the old Lane Kiffin wrestling with the new Lane Kiffin. New Lane Kiffin, I think, is a great fit in Oxford. I think he appreciates having his family around and you know, the more intimate setting of Oxford. You've got, you know, the new Lane Kiffin can be himself in Oxford. Can Lane Kiffin be himself at LSU, where there's a bunch of different hands in the cookie jar? I have a hard time seeing him being the full authentic version of himself in Baton Rouge. And then if you take the Florida job, you're trying to become the next Urban Meyer or the next Steve Spurrier. Like you are always in those shadows at Ole Miss. And Scott, you can correct me if I'm wrong going to college there, but I mean, if he's there for the next 10 years and he takes them to 4 or 5 college football playoffs and a semifinal or two, like, that you get a statue at Ole Miss. Like you are the guy at Ole Miss, a storied program. He is, you know, the top dog. So I think it's a crisis of conscience with Lane Kiffin now. And I think you have to explore all the possibilities. You have to, you know, Layla has to go in and explore Gainesville and Baton Rouge and do your due diligence. But to me, it's who do you want to be? Like who do you want to be? Do you want to be the next guy at Florida? Do you want to wrestle with the power brokers at LSU? Or do you want to be yourself at Ole Miss? And I think he leaves breadcrumbs. You know, a couple of his tweets this morning, you know, one of them was I don't know what book it's from, but the line that stood out to me is how do you know what to do next? You ask yourself, honestly, what would 90-year-old self, what would they advise you to do? So that's kind of the thought that's rattling around Lane Kiffin's head right now. And if I'm Lane Kiffin, and I know JB just said he feels like 60-40 leave, I feel like it's 70-30 stay. In my mind, if I'm putting myself in Lane Kiffin's shoes.
All right, there's a lot going on here. And I do have perspective, having been at Ole Miss. I live in Baton Rouge. You got Manning Way up there. I mean, the Mannings are revered. Vaught Hemingway and Johnny Vaught. If Lane stayed another 5 years, 6 years, and got him to a national championship, yeah, statues, Kiffin Way. That's real there. The difference in dollars between even 10 million and 13 million, I don't know that anybody feels that other than Jimmy Sexton. Jimmy feels it because it ratchets the market for all of his clients. You know, Lane, he can't spend $10 million a year. You know, Lane publicly is a different guy, right? He's very chill and zen, hot yoga type, keep your mind clear. And it sure does feel like if he'd be coming to Baton Rouge, that creates massive bad blood between the two programs. The two programs don't like each other already. Ole Miss and LSU have significant history. And the entire Ole Miss fan base would turn on him quickly. In time, they might appreciate him. They do appreciate him now, but they'd feel really stung. And like you said, Doug, you know, at Ole Miss, he can go off and live his life pretty quietly. In Baton Rouge, yeah, he's not going to have that. There's just a lot more people who'd be wanting to be involved with him. So it's just not an easy life. Zach, I see you want to chime in. Go ahead.
I understand we live in a world where money talks and everything else walks. But what does it say if you're LSU or Florida about the character of the person you're potentially hiring, if he's willing to bail on his team as they prepare, as they've earned the right to go play their biggest game in 60 years, he's willing to just leave them at the drop of a hat to go take a new job? I mean, it's like if you start dating someone who's cheating on their partner to get with you, don't be surprised if they start cheating on you at some time down the road when it's convenient for them. I mean, whether that's true or not, that's going to be the line everyone's going to use against Lane. When he goes and recruits for LSU or Florida. Oh, you're going to go. Yeah, he's going to leave you right before your biggest game too because he did it to Ole Miss. That's what comes to my mind when I talk about him potentially leaving Ole Miss in the middle of a playoff run. I mean, it turns my stomach. I can't imagine how sick Ole Miss fans must be right now. I understand it got out there that they put on some sort of ultimatum for him to coach to have a decision in by the Egg Bowl. I imagine that was framed more like, hey, we'd like to have no one way or the other, not like you're going to be suspended if you don't tell us like that, because obviously that would just be silly Lane Holt's leverage. But I mean, I feel absolutely sick for Ole Miss in this situation.
Well, I would contend there that he's already stayed faithful to Ole Miss when Auburn came begging 3 years ago or whatever it was. There have been other entreaties from other programs. I don't think, and in this day and age of the transfer portal, what is loyalty? What is faithfulness? What is recruiting? Good Lord, I'm scared of that. None of that stuff matters like it did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like, it just doesn't. It's not the same. Look, I mean, Lane's whole roster right now at Ole Miss is primarily through the transfer portal. It's 1 and 2 year deals. It was that way a year ago. That's the nature of college football right now. I don't buy into the whole loyalty thing. Now, look, if this happening when Ole Miss is best positioned to compete for a national championship for the first time in literal decades, that's horrific timing for sure. That's problematic. But there's no indication that Lane wants to turn his back on the program before those things would come to pass. I think that would just be a decision that the Ole Miss administration would have to decide. Like, look, all right, we appreciate everything. We understand you would like to stay in coach, but we're going to make Joe Judge our interim coach because you can't wear the LSU hat and the Ole Miss hat at the same time, or you can't wear an alligator head at the same time you're wearing a Colonel Reb head or whatever. But he's been faithful, in my opinion. He has built Ole Miss to what it is today. What is it, 3 10-win seasons or the cusp of 3 consecutive 10-win seasons? I think somebody told me when you walk through the trophy area in the football offices at Ole Miss that most of the trophies are from the 40s and 50s, other than some bowl trophies. Like, they haven't added a substantial trophy to the case in, somebody said, 7 or 8 decades. So Lane has done tremendous stuff for you. The nature of the sport is more transactional than ever. And let's not ignore the fact that, you know, Florida has held special meaning to him and certainly to Layla, with her dad having played there and all of that. So I don't think Lane evaluates it as strictly transactionally.
Zach, you lead a piece for us we call Nuclear Winter every year, and it's just an entertaining look at how the coaching carousel could drive people crazy. Well, the scenario was there were offers for Lane. He kind of kept him at bay, didn't really commit. No one was really sure. This year, the cliffhanger was
he took the Miami Dolphins job.
He goes all the way through the playoffs, gets to the semifinals or the finals, and people are like, he still hasn't really committed, and then he goes to the NFL. Is that potentially also part of what this delay is in committing anywhere?
I mean, could be. I think the idea that I think we sometimes get a little bit ahead of ourselves in college football to think that so-and-so is just waiting on an NFL job as if they just the entire league is just waiting on them to select, pull their hat off. I mean, the NFL coaches, NFL franchises aren't typically jumping at the bit to hire college coaches for a variety of reasons. And Lane has a little bit of experience in the league that didn't go well. Mm-hmm. He was a different person, we could say, when he was the head coach of the Raiders than he is today. I think it would have to be the right ownership and the right fit. In the case of the literal real Miami Dolphins, in the event they move on from Mike McDaniel, I don't think they would turn around and hire another offensive-minded head coach with a whole lot of personality after the Mike McDaniel experience, but who knows?
We'll see. So bringing it all back together, in my mind, Lane's going to make a decision in the next day. It could go as late as Friday. I don't think it even goes to next week with the Egg Bowl. He might not announce it until the Egg Bowl. I don't know. I think he's going to make his decision. And I think we'll see. It's just too much bad blood to go to LSU right now. Florida's a different thing than LSU in the Ole Miss LSU world.
And I would add this as you talk about the difference in the blood, the bad blood component of if he leaves for LSU versus if he leaves to Florida, especially again with Layla's family ties to Florida and all that. But LSU and Ole Miss have each other as part of their SEC permanent football opponents. So LSU has Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. Ole Miss has LSU, Mississippi State, and Oklahoma. That's not the case at Florida. You've got Georgia, South Carolina, right, and Kentucky. So I do think, to your point, it wouldn't just be causing bad blood. You'd be seeing the other side every single year in perpetuity.
It would be unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. And on that note, obviously, LSU would be doing to Ole Miss what Alabama did to LSU with the Nick Saban thing. And LSU had to go play Nick Saban annually for 17 years. And obviously, there was an NFL stop in between there. This LSU would be directly hiring him away in the middle of potentially their biggest games in 60 plus years. So however, the fire that LSU felt towards Alabama would be tenfold for Ole Miss towards LSU. And the other note I have is the so-and-so's wife is shopping for houses in this town is 99% of the time in our business is BS, but the two times that it's actually been confirmed to be true are at LSU, because obviously Miss Terry famously scoped out Baton Rouge while Nick Saban was at Michigan State. And then we have LSU very purposely publicizing that they're courting Layla Kiffin and Lane as publicly as they possibly can for their own reasons to go pry Lane out of Oxford.
Yeah, and Team Kiffin was in Florida on Sunday as well. Not just Gainesville, but my understanding browsed homes in Ocala, Florida as well, which is, 30 minutes south of Gainesville.
The other thing I want to add real quick and drawing the comparison to Saban leaving and having to play each other, I don't think that's as much of a factor this time around, and that like the team is completely different every single year with the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff. It's not like you're leaving a place and having to face your former players, because a lot of those guys can follow you, have the option to follow you. Whereas when Saban left, those dudes were, if you transferred, you were out for a full year. So completely different in that regard.
I agree, but I mean, you've talked about earlier this year how Lane's found peace in Oxford. Mm-hmm. And Oxford feels like home. And now you're talking about these people, these faces, see on a daily basis, they are going to absolutely, you're going from a statue to these people are going to hate your name, your guts, yes, until the end of time.
And he's got such, you know, he's got his staff. He's got, you know, Charlie and Pete Golding. And you got to, if you're going to take him, you got to move everybody. It causes a massive amount of disruption. I just don't know that he's ready to do that. So I think you might see an answer sooner rather than later. And an answer might be, I'm not going to leave for another SEC program.
Which keeps open the NFL door.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, gentlemen, big news yesterday. I think we all saw this one coming. James Franklin, had left Penn State, worked out a deal, took his money up front so that he didn't have to deal with the offsetting language and Virginia Tech underpaying him and Penn State being sour about that. He said, hey, look, pay me up front. I'm taking my money. I'm going to Virginia Tech. James Franklin's the new head coach of Virginia Tech. Let's hear some thoughts on that one. JB, I might start with you on this one.
Yeah, he took $9 million now. Penn State still has to make him whole. There was offset and mitigation. So the key thing is James Franklin's still getting $49 million. There's semantics about where it's coming from and who's paying it and how it's being delivered to him and all of that. But the bottom line is James Franklin is still going to get all of that $49 million. Then we'll see what the full terms of his Virginia Tech contract are. But he's still getting a heck of a chunk of money while Brian Kelly's still in mediation or negotiation trying to figure out how much of that $54 million he's going to get from LSU. So at the moment, it's advantage James Franklin. I think it's a really, really good hire. I think as we evaluate this, unless somebody pries Lane Kiffin away from Ole Miss, I think this is going to stand as one of the best hires of this entire cycle, regardless of what else happens. I think we know that the ACC is a much weaker conference than the Big Ten. I would contend that this year by far the ACC is the worst of the four power conferences. We know that 15 years ago or whatever it was, James Franklin already was head coach in waiting at Maryland. He has great contacts in the DMV. He can recruit the Tidewater region. He's already recruited up and down the coast for Penn State. I think it's a big win for Virginia Tech. We know that Virginia Tech went before their state legislature as well as their board of governors or whatever their version, their school's version of board of trustees is 2 months ago, saying we got to have $200 million reinfused into our athletics program, particularly for football and rev share and all that. So that money's already been kickstarted, or the process to get that money's already been kickstarted. The ACC, a much weaker ecosystem than the Big Ten. And James Franklin, I think, will be very motivated. So I think it's a really, really good hire for Virginia Tech.
Doug, give me some perspective.
Yeah, I agree with what JB has to say. You know, I wonder from James Franklin's perspective, you're replacing your former defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. I think a lot of those staffers there have Penn State ties. So is that a good thing? Is that a good thing for James Franklin, where he can come in and he doesn't have to move a bunch of people around? For me, for the Virginia Tech side, I think the hire of James Franklin says that we felt Brent Pry wasn't the right leader, but I think he had the right system in place because he probably brought a lot of the same off the field stuff that James Franklin did at Penn State. So, you know, you plug in a new leader and maybe keep some of the same key off the field support people around, or James continues to infuse with some more Penn State people, and maybe it's an easier transition for him in that regard. But agree wholeheartedly, ACC is a much better, easier path to the college football playoff than where he was at Penn State. He's only going to see maybe one or two top 10 teams a year on his schedule, which I think Virginia Tech fans will be excited about. You know, you're going to have to beat, you know, the Clemsons and, you know, some of the other top programs. But good fit from a recruiting standpoint, good fit from a personality standpoint. I think it's really cool from James Franklin's perspective. He gets to be part of a couple of college football's best traditions in the whiteout, and now the entry that Virginia Tech does with Metallica. So I think from his perspective, that's really cool to take part of.
Amen to that. Zach?
I'm going to echo my colleagues and basically the entire industry. I think, I wrote on a coaching autopsy on our site the day that Franklin got let go at Penn State that Virginia Tech should hire him tomorrow. I know it took about a month, but they got it done. So I think he'll give you, if you're Virginia Tech, access to two important constituencies that you obviously weren't hitting under previous regimes. That's NIL donors in whatever form that takes and high-level transfers. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to flip that roster pretty quickly. But I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. He failed to reach his goals and got run out at Penn State for two reasons. Number one is quarterback play. What's your plan to identify and develop ACC level quarterbacks? Yep. I'd like to see that. And number two is James Franklin did not give Penn State a consistent edge on game days in terms of in-game decision making. And at Penn State, you have the better roster than almost everyone you play throughout the season. At Virginia Tech, you know, we'll see, but that's probably not going to be the case, and certainly not going to be the case when you come up against Miami, Clemson, who else in the ACC at this point. But so when you have an equal roster or lesser roster instead of two or three games a year, now that's 6 to 8 games a year when those in-game decisions make or break you, is he going to be better in that regard when he has to make those decisions more often? I recall I didn't write about it for the site because I didn't want to be mean, but I'm recalling an Outback Bowl where they're playing Kentucky. Penn State's down 6 with like 4 minutes left. They have like a 4th and 5 from like the 30. And instead of just getting one 5-yard gain to continue to drive to potentially take the lead, he kicks a field goal where then you have to go basically force a 3-and-out, take the punt, then drive another 40, 50 yards, and then either score a touchdown or kick another field goal to go to overtime and then beat Kentucky in overtime. Or you just get 5 yards, get the first down, go score, win the game in regulation. He kicked a field goal, and I don't think Penn State ever even got the ball back. It was just a terrible in-game decision, and I'd like to know if he's evolved on that front. Otherwise, then this hire is not going to be as successful as we all assume it will be.
I remember that bowl game, Zach. I think that's when Kentucky wore those hideous chrome helmets. The other thing to note when you talk about what's coming from a tactical standpoint and who he must face, he gets Notre Dame every few years as well. We already know there's some awkwardness in the Marcus Freeman-James Franklin relationship after the whole Orange Bowl press conference and all of that. But in addition to his ACC slate, Virginia Tech comes to Notre Dame in 2027 and then hosts the Fighting Irish in 2028. So that's just around the corner.
Zach, I literally would have said the exact same two potential concerns, quarterback, coaching. They recruit good quarterbacks. I don't see the on-field development or and the maturity. And then in-game decision making, and I don't know if that's really so much from the quarterback or from the coaching perspective, but it just hasn't been great. It hasn't allowed them to finish the big games. They've won a bunch of games, but the big games they've not been able to finish. So we'll see. I'm kind of withholding judgment to see that. That's what I want to see from James. At Vanderbilt, he won 9 games, got the Penn State job. He goes into Penn State. Within a couple of years, he wins 9, 11, 11, came down a little bit. They had another run of 11, 10, 11, something like that. Dude can put up big dubs. He just hasn't won the most important games.
And looking at the ACC landscape in 26, there's a bunch of quarterback question marks. Miami's not going to have Carson Beck anymore. Clemson will be making changes. Darian Mensah is the only – Georgia Tech's not going to have Haynes King. Darian Mensah, right off the top of my head, is among the most noteworthy returners next year. So there's also an opportunity there for him to get an experienced quarterback coach or quarterback whisperer and strike in an ACC that's going to be incredibly wide open, I think, next year, even more so than this year.
All right, let me throw out one name and see what thoughts. Joe Moorhead as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's a win. That would be a win for James Franklin, and that would sure be a win for Joe Moorhead to get the hell out of Akron.
Watch it. Watch it. I hear what you're saying.
I live in Akron. Yeah. I can say it. That's a bad job, man. That's a bad job.
It's a hard job. I would agree. He's battled through it. Joe is a quarterback's type guy. I think that one might make some sense. We'll see. See where it goes. All right. Any other closing thoughts? Nope. Lane, it's time to make a decision, young man. We'll see what happens. With Football Scoop Podcast, tell your friends. We certainly appreciate it. Footballscoop.com, our favorite website.